Hello everyone and welcome back to Mouchtar FM 89.6, the radio made by youth for youth, but people over 30 can also listen to it, we won't blame them. I am Mathilde, your French and passive-aggressive host, and today I am back with another episode of Experience the World. So this episode will be following of my series Interculturality With. And this time I had the great pleasure to welcome Chris, another host here in Mouchtar Has.
Hello, hello everyone. Thanks Mathilde for inviting.
You're welcome. I'm really happy to have you here because I think your experience is going to be one of the most interesting to hear. So basically, just as a reminder for the listeners, this series Interculturality With goal is basically to know about people's experiences, to know why interculturality takes so much place in people's lives and why it's so important for them and what it brings to them. So I think I usually begin like this. So first, could you just introduce yourself?
Yeah, of course. My name is Chris. My full name is Kristina. I'm Russian. Currently, I live in Nyíregyházo and do this wonderful radio, Mouchtar FM 89.6, that you are listening to right now. And I'm really happy to be here. I also have some travel background. I'm a really big traveler, and I wanted to mention that I'm a solo traveler. I do most of my trips, I do solo. And a lot of questions from people who know me, like, aren't you scared of something? I was like, no, yeah. No, I'm not. Why I should be? I visited 38 countries for now. I'm planning to go to my 39th country. And I hope I will accomplish this goal by the end of this year. I would like to visit 40 countries and complete the goal.
Okay.
Yeah, I hope so. I can do that. So about me, a little bit of my background. I used to study history. I'm a history teacher, but I never worked as a history teacher because I disagree with the educational system of my country. But I used to work as a teacher of fast reading skills. It's a private school which teach kids and adults of this system of knowledge, how to read fast, how to boost your memory, how to improve the concentration of your attention. I really love that experience that I had because it's connected to brain, and I also have this passion to explore the capacity of human's brain. Yeah, and also I work as a social media manager. Currently, I also have this position and I work remotely, which I also like. Yeah, and it makes me understand better the algorithms of social media, and sometimes it helps me to control my usage of social media,
yeah.
And my behavior in social media.
I just had a side question about the thing you were teaching, fast reading techniques, because I have some members of my family who followed a course like so. And I just wanted to know if it's something that is usually taught in school or if it's a new discipline.
It's none of them. Like, it's not a new discipline because these techniques, they were known like before so many years ago. And okay. a lot of people like from scientific world, they use these techniques because you cannot be a great physician if you don't read books. And for read the whole books about physics, you have to have the skills. Probably some people, they say like, basically, I read fast because they able to do that. But a lot of people struggle with reading and with reading fast, with absorb the information mm-hmm. also, because the system, it's not about just reading. Like, I don't know, I can read 2,000 words per minute, but I cannot remember any of the information that I have read right now. It doesn't count. So faster reading count in a situation when I read and I can tell you what I just read. And also it's a system, like it's a complex. It's not just a few skills that you can pick up and implement. You have to learn, you have to implement them to your regular life, and then you will have a skill. At schools, I don't know in which school, I'm talking about government schools, like public schools. I don't know any of schools that have taught these kind of skills. As I said, this kind of stuff was known before because people who work with a lot of information, they have to pick up the skills. Naturally or specifically, it doesn't matter. But the system that I was teaching, it was like combo of known skills, which were put in a system which works well with different kind of situation. Even for people with dyslexia, even for people with autism syndrome or Down syndrome or any kind of mental diseases. So it's kind of a unique system which can help you to improve the quality of your brain and the quality of your intellect.
Now I would like to come back to what you said in the very beginning, that you, for now, you visited 38 countries. And it's also a question I ask to every of my guests for now. This passion for traveling and discovering other cultures, is it something that was always within you? Is it something that was inspired to you by your family? I don't know, maybe you have some members of your family who really likes to travel too. Or is it something that suddenly came because of a certain event in your life?
It's a good and at the same time hard question because I started to travel often, let's say 6 years ago. My first trip abroad was with my university, and this trip was to Italy. It was a university trip and I don't remember nothing from it. And it was super, you know, it was in a hurry. We didn't see almost nothing. We were just traveling by bus. Can you imagine? We were traveling from Russia to Italy by bus.
How many time did it take?
2 days.
Holy moly.
It was super hard trip. Of course, we did like 2 steps and first step was in Belarus. And like where the border Belarus and Poland, I remember we spent one night in hotel just for rest, and our drivers, they also needed to rest. And the next stop was in Budapest. I think that impressed me so much. And I remember this, you know, something was in the air that wasn't familiar to me. I don't know how to express this, but it was something that made me excited. And after that, my friends convinced me to go to the USA. From this university trip to the USA, it was kind of a huge thing for me because I wasn't, I didn't know any English at that moment. And I was preparing myself for pass the interview with the consul. And I had just 9 months for prepare myself. I passed the interview successfully. And then, yeah, it was a long journey of learning English. The USA was the starting point of conscious travel, I would say. After that, I did one more trip, and it was my first solo trip, and it was to Hungary. And I spent 1 week in Budapest, a few days in Vienna. From this time, I realized like I'm capable of everything because I was solo. I had not that good English, but it allows me to communicate. And I realized like I'm really capable of everything, and I can survive. I can travel, I can do whatever I want. And from that moment, I was unstoppable. But talk about my childhood. I also was a kind of active child. And my mom always sent me to some camps, to some summer camp or to some activities for child. It wasn't just a summer camp, like regular summer camp. I think I have to mention it. My godmother, she's the head of organization for youth. And that made a lot of impact on my childhood. And she was also taking me everywhere. I have like huge background of traveling around my hometown and in some places in Russia. But it was with somebody, of course, like with the group of youngsters. I think I would say I always was kind of curious person. I really like to know more about some new things, no matter what. Is it culture? Is it traditions? Is it places? Is it... I cannot say languages because I'm struggling with languages. Currently, I learn English and Spanish.
I mean, you say you're struggling with the languages, but I mean, you're speaking 3 languages. So it's kind of hard for me to agree with you on that point, because I mean, I heard you talk to Maria. I remember you had conversation and I could understand what you were saying. And I mean, your Spanish level is already really good and your English level too.
Yeah, I have think. Level on these languages. I really can communicate well. I had a relationship with Spanish-speaking persons. And yeah, but this level I accomplished by myself. Yeah. And behind this level, there are a lot of work.
What I'm also curious about is you describe yourself as solo traveler. I think you insist much on that point. Is there something, to your opinion, more exciting about traveling solo or more self-revealing about traveling solo than just going with someone? Why solo traveling?
I'm not against of friends trips or something like that, travel with somebody else, but I consider myself as introvert rather than extrovert.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem like this probably, but it is. And the all efforts that I put to be an extrovert person, it's an effort. And also my teaching background made me to be more extrovert than introvert. But from communication with people, I really do not gain anything. I mean, in the sense of energy. I spend a lot of energy to communicate with them and I don't gain any energy back. Because I think that's the main definition of extrovert and introvert person. Because extrovert person gain a lot from communication. And after communication, me personally, I need to recharge. I need to be alone. I need to do something just in a quiet place where nobody can disturb me. That's the one of the main reasons why I travel solo. Because traveling with somebody required a lot of communication and a lot of negotiation. You cannot just say like, okay, I would like to go to museum and I don't care that you, for example, don't like to go to this museum or you don't like to walk a lot and I would like to walk to this museum, not take a tram or whatever. And this process of negotiation makes me tired. And in the solo trips, I have big privilege to not negotiate with anyone. It's just me and my decision. That's it. It's a short way to explore more and to see more and to gain more experience rather than you travel with somebody, in my point of view. Also, if you travel with someone, there are no needs to communicate with locals because you already have your company and you don't go out of your comfort zone. When I travel solo, there is no time when I'm really solo. I always with somebody else. I always find somebody who I can spend time with. Through some applications, through just meet somebody in a hotel, hostel, wherever, you're more open to communicate with somebody else when you travel solo.
And when it comes to your inner development, within your personality and the way you see the world and think, did you notice some growth? Because I know there's also this big stereotype about Russia that people are kind of close-minded. At least in Europe, this is a huge stereotype that we have about Russia. You went to France, I imagine, you went to Italy, and the mentality is very different from Russian Eastern countries. So on a personal level, did you notice the difference in the way you process things, in the way you see things in general?
I think my mind shifted when I went in the USA. That was the first and main point when my way of thinking completely changed. And from this point, I started to be more open-minded because the USA, it's a mix of everything. I mean, in every sense. In a sense of how people think, how people dress, what people eat, how they go out, where they go out, how they look like, what kind of relationship they have. It's a countless cases of diversity. And after the USA, I started to explore Europe. And in Europe, I didn't notice many difference. Because at that time, me personally, I was different person than I was before going to the USA. Before the USA, I was close-minded. And I was following this, you know, inside-the-box thinking. Then after the USA, I opened my box and started to think outside. And I often receive comments from people who know me, and these people, they're not from Russia. And they said, like, you are not typical Russian. Because they also have stereotypes, and I don't match with these stereotypes. I can say I don't see any difference between me and people from Central Europe, but I see huge difference between people from Russia and people from Central Europe. I don't want to make a distance between me and my country because I'm Russian and I'm proud of it. But the way of thinking, if we talk about the majority of people, it's completely different. And also, we have to notice that we have a lot of propaganda inside the country and a lot of brainwashing. And if you take a regular person from Russian society, it will be a huge difference between way of thinking. And if we're talking about progressive side of the society, like Gen Z or some young people, they're closer to European mindset rather than typical Russian mindset. Mm.
Now, to come back on your current situation, you said that one of your first trips, if I understood well, was, I mean, you took like a step in Hungary already. What brought you here in Mushtar FM? How was your trip to Hungary? And also, if you could talk about the small experience you had before in Turkey, it would be nice.
I think the honest answer of this question will be VAR. VAR brought me here. So I'm escaping this pressure that we have in Russia. Because if you disagree, if you not support the VAR, which Russia makes in Ukraine, you're not welcome to Russian society. But of course, we're not talking about people. Like, people, they're not paying attention about it because the circumstances that we have now in Russian society, like, they're so bad and people occupied with their own problems and they choose do not see this huge problem, which called war. Yeah, and it was so intense year in a sense of emotions for me since war started. And I started to process a lot of thoughts. And I started to think about move to somewhere, just do not have this pressure and do not have this emotional crap that I had while I was living in Russia, because you cannot stop yourself from scrolling news, from absorbing this content. Yeah, and it makes huge impact of your mental health and mental statement. When war started, I took a vacation from the school because at that moment I was working at school. It was summertime, and I did 2 months trip through the whole Balkan countries. I was traveling for 2.5 months, and then I came back to Russia with with new boyfriend from Spain. It was kind of gift that I brought with me. Yeah, we were living together for a few months, and then I realized, like, it's not my cup of tea. While he was staying with me, I thought, like, okay, it's just a new chapter of my life. Probably it would lead somewhere. And I wasn't sure about my plans. I was just looking how it goes. And after our breakup, I just clearly realized that I have to do something. I have to move from here to somewhere. But of course, like, for Russian people, it's not easy to just to pack stuff and move somewhere, because we are not European citizens, which can move from country to country and live wherever they want. So from us, a lot of countries required visa or some other documents. And yeah, it wasn't that easy also, because we don't have direct flights from Russia to anywhere else. Only countries that accept Russian flights, it's Armenia, Georgia, Egypt, some Asian countries, and Turkey. Yeah, and I started to think, like, what kind of options do I have? And while I was doing this 2.5 months trip, I met a lot of different people who were doing different stuff. They were, like, youngsters and people with some age, like, older than me, younger than me, different people. And all of them, they had different occupation. A lot of them, they were doing volunteering somewhere. It was through the workaway program or some other kind of volunteering. And that communication with different people gave me an idea that I probably should start to do something that I really care about, that I really wanted to do, not stressed a lot about money, not stressed a lot about my future, just go with the flow in a sense of discover something that I really care about and started to do this. It was a good thought, but with this thought, I had a lot of anxiety about my future, because I'm a kind of person who is always worried about everything. Even though I don't have any problems, I worried about something. It's just a permanent anxiety, something in the background of my life. I'm trying to control it somehow with therapy and with some other neurobiology, neuro exercises, but sometimes it works, sometimes it's not. So, yeah, I'm jumping a little bit from topic to topic. But at that time, when we broke up with my Spanish boyfriend, I realized, like, it's time. It's time to start to move to my future outside of Russia. Because it was super hard to live there in a society where everybody pretending like nothing is happening, but a huge thing is happening. I was dreaming for a long time about participating in the ESC project. And since I'm 27, I don't have a lot of time left.
Yeah.
I was thinking about this from point of view that it's a great thing to try once in a life. And if I have this opportunity, I have to use it. Because I have like a rule that I follow. I think it's better to do something and then regret than do not do something and then regret that you haven't done it.
Yeah.
So from this logic, I started to apply for the projects. And the projects that I was applying to, they were related to nature. Because I felt like I exhausted from the info noise that I have in my life. I wanted to be close to the nature. I wanted to be more like grounded, rooted. And I was searching for some farm projects, villages or farms that located in the countryside. Also, I was applying for some projects with work with youth and something like this. And this process of applying, it was kind of organized because like I'm super organized person. I'm punctual, I'm organized, and it's my superpower, I guess. I consider us as a superpower. I organized this process of applying and searching for the project. Every Monday, I had like a break between my classes in my work. And this hour, I was searching and applying and writing motivation letters and sending them to the new project as I thought fits me. For 2 months, I was applying and I hadn't have any results. I don't know, is it connected with my nationality or just circumstances was like this? After 2 months of applying, I hadn't had any results. And then I found another project in Colombia. It was a project about teaching English in some school. It was a project of my dream, to be honest, because I speak Spanish and I love Latin America. And I applied and I passed the interview. But at the same time, when I passed the interview, I got an offer from project in Turkey. And project in Turkey was for 1 month. And Colombian project was for 6 months at least, for 1 year max. And the difference between Colombian project and Turkey project was like Turkey project was from ESC, from European Solidarity Corps. And Colombian project wasn't in the system. It was just a project that I found. I decided to reject the Colombian offer and take an offer from Turkey because it was in January, the beginning of the year, and I can do the project and still work in my work. At that time, I had two jobs. One job I can do remotely anyway. And another one allows me to take a vacation and do the project. So I also had a great director of the school and she was totally fine with me taking vacation for 1 month and go to Turkey. So I picked the Turkish project and the beginning of the year I spent in Turkey in a lovely city called Eskişehir. I was doing hippotherapy project. It's a type of therapy related to horses. So if you know like dolphin therapy, when people swimming with dolphins, it's same, but with horses. People with some disabilities, with some diseases, mental issues, they can be treated by horses.
We also have this type of programs in France, especially in elder houses. We have this type of projects too.
It's worldwide and in Turkey, since Turkey is a region where they always were dealing with horses, it's kind of natural for them. But the goal of the project, they were trying to bring this horse therapy an official level when therapist can prescribe you the therapy. It was a really great project. I love the environment. I love the people. And we're still in contact with some guys from there. And Turkey is a lovely country. Mm. I really love it. I have a few people, like a few friends from Turkey. I met them before I went there. So it was my first time in Turkey also. I really love the country. I was travel around also in my days off. And yeah, that was the project in Turkey. And I skipped this part. So I have to mention that before the Turkey project, I started my own podcast. Because the level of anxiety, the amount of thoughts that were in my head was incredible. And I had to place them somewhere. I decided to process it by talking with people. And these talks, these interviews, they helped me realize like I'm not alone in this situation. And this understanding gives me confidence, like I'm not crazy. When you hear the opinions of other people and when you realize like you are not alone who are going through this stuff, it gives you a lot of confidence and it makes me happy. Understand that I'm not alone. So I started my own podcast and it was a magic, to be honest. One day when I started to search for the project, again, one of the Mondays, I opened the youth portal and I saw Mushtar FM. And it was exact the same week when I launched my first episode. And I thought like it's a magic, it's a destiny and I should apply for that. And I told you like for 2 months I was sending the letters, customized letters to each project. And I haven't had any reply. And in the case with Mushtar Has, I sent the letter and after 20 minutes I received the answer. Yeah. And at that moment I realized like that's my thing. That's the project where I have to be.
I feel like Raymond was the quickest coordinator in the whole world.
Yeah.
Because I feel like he replied to all of us in the matter of 20 minutes or 1 day maximum. So for me, it was also crazy because I also applied for several months and couldn't get any positive answer. So when I saw after like 30 minutes, I was like, how is that possible? But yeah, that was a side note. Through all the travels that you did through this 6 months, because for now you have been 6 months in this ESC Mushtar FM program. So of all the travels you did for now outside of Hungary or within Hungary, what was your best memory? You can take several countries. You don't have to talk about one specific country.
That's interesting because always when people ask me about my favorite country or my favorite trip, I cannot decide because it's super individual. I think all our preferences, they based on our experience in that country. For example, in Romania, I had super bad experience.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean like the country is bad. But I don't like Romania. Just for several reasons, I don't like Romania. But the country itself, super beautiful and great. But just, I don't like my experience in there. It would be in the list. So, I did pretty much trips during the 6 months. I think I would say Denmark because it was my first Scandinavian country. And I was impressed by the way how the life is organized there. Everything. For people with disabilities, for people who ride the bike, who ride the car, who would rather to walk than drive. And every single corner in the city planned and made for people, which we cannot find, for example, in Russia. Because there, the way how government organized the cities is like, you know, the protocol way. And I don't know which kind of protocols they follow. But it's a terrible protocols. Then I would like to say Amsterdam, Netherlands. Because to be honest, now I'm in a stage when it's really hard to impress me by something because I've seen a lot of stuff and I communicate with a lot of people from different kind of countries, from Europe, outside the Europe. And the only things that I can be impressed by, it's people and nature. But Amsterdam impressed me also, I think, because the way how city organized and how beautiful it is, it's like a city from fairy tale. I don't know, I cannot even explain in which sense and what exactly impressed me, but everything, like everything together was super good. And I would like to come back. I think I understand why a lot of people choose to move there. And I did a trip to Albania. It was my last trip. It was my second time in Albania, but I did the trip specially for hiking in Albanian Alps. It's an incredible place. That's the case when I go somewhere just to see the nature. Yeah, and it was 10 hours hiking. I really love it. Yeah, and I think it was my second serious hike. First was in Macedonia, and I also love it. Yeah, I think these three places would be the highlights.
Can you share some embarrassing moments, like little anecdotes where you found yourself in like a tricky situation?
It's not embarrassing, but it's a situation with Romania. It's not funny. It's just a situation which I've never faced before. As we said before, I traveled to 38 countries, and each country, almost each country, has border control or like passport control. It depends on where you travel, but between countries, if it's outside the EU, basically it's a passport control. I have Russian passport. I have some documents which required this country where I'm going. And I think the most serious passport controls that I had was in Israel, because it's usual for everybody. Like everybody who entered the country, the border crew do some interview for them. And this interview can last from 5 till, I don't know, 10 minutes, but it's not a quick passport check as in EU countries, for example. It's reasonable. They protect themselves. They're in a constant war with Palestine. And yeah, it has a reason. This passport check has a reason. Okay, I accept it. I don't have anything against. My passport control in Israel lasts like 10 minutes, something like this. She was investigating my passport and asking me about every visa that I had. She let me go in the end. And I cannot remember any other case when I was questioned by border crew for that long. But my trip at the end of the August, it was a spontaneous trip to Romania. Because Nirichaza, it's kind of close to Romanian border, just 2 hours by car and 4 by bus. And you are in Romania. So I decided to go there for 2-3 days. And I took the bus from Debrecen to Cluj-Napoca. There is a border between Hungary and Romania. We arrived to this border by bus, by Flixbus. We were waiting for 2 hours for somebody, for some border crew to come and collect our passports. We were first to cross the border. And this made me mad, because why I'm waiting for 2 hours? For no reason. And then guess what? Out of the whole bus, they called just me for go out and come to the police officer, to the border crew. You know, when they entered the bus, I filled with my heart that something is going to happen. And they came exactly for me. And I was like, yep, it's me. It's me. Yeah, I just went out and came to the border crew. And he was like, hello. Like, what are you doing here? So first he asked, like, what is my name and where I'm from. When I said I'm from Russia, but currently I live in Hungary. So I gave them my passport with my Hungarian ID card. And then the first question when he asked me, have you ever participated in any protests? What kind of question it is?
Yeah.
And I mean, it's weird for me, because I don't know what kind, like, what does it mean for him, protests? Because, yeah, we have several protests in Russia, but most of them, they for support our current government. And I, of course, I don't take a part of it. But I did participate in other kind of protests which were against our government. Which kind of protests he wanted to know about? And I just automatically said no. And then he asked me random questions about 15 minutes. And all my answers, he was texting with somebody. I think he put all my answers to the chat, to the message, and sent it to somebody like above him, I guess. And yeah, he even laughed at my face and said, like, I'm sorry for these questions, but you know, you understand, you're Russian. Yeah, that's kind of, I cannot say discrimination, just stupid stuff, which up to some people. I believe it's up to some people who works there. Yeah, this kind of question, this kind of situation, and I don't know, some probably the most funny, but it wasn't funny at the moment when it was happening, but it's a little disclaimer. I did that in a country where government is allowed to do, so it's legalized. It's legalized in the country, and that's the reason why I did that. I ate space cake. When I was in Amsterdam, and I would say, like, I would never do that again. Now it's funny. At the moment, it wasn't funny because I had a bad trip, but it was kind of a new experience for me.
Some people say that traveling so much like this is only made for people who are rich and who are in a privileged position. What would you tell them?
I would say it's not true. Because I, as you hear right now, I'm not in a privileged position. I have a Russian passport, which is a piece of paper. I mean, I'm talking about in a sense of power. Each passport has an amount of power, and Russian passport is not powerful at all, because most of the countries require visa for us. And yeah, I managed, even with Russian passport, I managed. And I have a friend from India with Indian passport. He told me, based on his experience and based on experience of the Indian traveler who traveled almost the whole countries in the world, based on experience of these two, because Indian passport is weaker than Russian, and every country suspect them so much also, because there is a high potential of emigration. And based on the experience of these two Indians, at the end of everything, passport is just a piece of paper. If you have some strong passport, of course, it's good and it's easy to travel. But even though you don't, it's possible. It depends on your wants, how much you want it. If you really want it, you will find a way how to do. And I started to travel when my salary was, let's say, 2017. My salary was around 100 euros per month. Per month. I managed somehow to find like cheap tickets to make my Schengen visa. At that time, it was way easier than it's right now.
Just, is it 1,000 or 100?
100.
Per month.
Per month. Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, we have to mention that average salary in Russia, no more than 400 euros per month. It's a rare salary over than 500 euros per month. I mean, of course, there are people, many people who earn thousands of euro per month. But if we take the average salary, it's a 300, 400, 500 super good salary. So, yeah, back to 2017, I had 100 euros per month. And even with that money, I managed. There are plenty of options to travel in budget, to travel cheap. For example, couchsurfing. It's a great way to travel to save your money. But first, like I insist at this point that for me, couchsurfing, it's not a free accommodation. It's a cultural exchange first.
Yeah.
And then as a benefit, it's a free accommodation. This way, then work away, backpackers, you can travel, you can volunteer in somewhere, in a farm, in the hostels, be a guide, I don't know, wherever, and live for free, and even have a meal sometimes, do not pay for your accommodation, just spend money for some entertainment if you need them. Then cheap flights.
Yeah.
Come on, Europe, you can fly like from one point of continent to the other point of continent for 10 euros. I can tell you, like, my trip to Cyprus from Debrecen to Cyprus and from Cyprus to Debrecen, the round trip cost me 30 euros. 15 euros per each ticket. It's super affordable. Mm. My trip to Netherlands cost me, I don't know, 40 euros, 20 per each way. It's super affordable. Yes, you have to put some efforts for find these tickets. But if you really want, it's more than possible.
I guess it's more about how you organize yourself.
How you organize yourself and also about the level of your comfort. Yes, sometimes I put my comfort not in the first place.
Yeah.
And I'm ready to sleep in hostels rather than to sleep in a hotel. I'm okay to eat not in restaurants, in some place like cheaper places. But at the same time, you always have an opportunity to grab something to go, like coffee to go. Aldi has pecan pastry
stuff. Yeah.
I really love it. I in every country when I go, I search for this pecan pastry. And it's the best meal for me because it's quick, it has carbs, and it makes me happy. I mean, of course, I eat normal food. I'm talking about
pecan pies.
Yeah,
pecan only.
I'm talking about takeaway options. Like, you can grab this takeaway option and, I don't know, sit in front of some beautiful place. Like, I really love to do that. Grab something, takeaway, and sit in front of the main place in the city and just look at this place. Like, imagine pecan pie and coffee to go in front of Coliseum, in front of some cathedral in Cologne, in front of Karlskirche in Vienna. That's the most beautiful places, and you can have them for free just by sitting in front of them. And as a compliment, you can have coffee to go and pecan pie. Like, it's a priceless moment. And I prefer these moments rather than sit, I don't know, in the terrace of the restaurant in front of something else and have my prosciutto and some pasta. Of course, it's lovely moments when you have opportunity to have this three-course meal in a Michelin restaurant. But the emotions from this action and from action with coffee to go and apple pie or pecan pie, wherever, they're same, and sometimes the emotions from these cheap moments that don't cost you much, they're even more intense rather than experience of a three-course meal in a Michelin restaurant. Because I experienced both, and I can tell you it's not big of a difference.
As a conclusion, I always end up, what would you tell to someone who wants to eventually try a volunteering but who is too scared to do it? Would you advise it?
Don't be scared. It's obvious, but I have a sentence in my mind. My father used to say that. Unfortunately, I don't remember that time by myself because I was too little. And my father, he passed away 20 years ago. And my mom, she told me, like, he used to tell this sentence. If you wanted to do something, do it right now. Because tomorrow or other time, you might don't want it or you might don't have an opportunity to do. So if you want it right now, and if you have an opportunity to do it right now, do it right now. We don't have that much time in life.
Yeah.
And also our values are changing. And if you have an idea, if you really want it to do, just do it. Do not think about anything.
Well, this was a nice ending sentence, I think. So that's a wrap for this show. Thank you so much for coming here with me. I think it will be one of my favorite interviews for sure. I'm sure it's going to inspire a lot of people. And I was absolutely sure I wanted to have you on this podcast. I was like, your name was already on my list of people I wanted to interview. I mean, I feel inspired at the end of this interview, and I'm sure people who listen will be too. So thank you for being here. It was really interesting. And thank you, dear listeners, for following this show. I hope the interview was interesting for you. You're listening to Mushtar FM 89.6. Let's see each other very soon for another podcast. Bye.
Bye-bye.